I've been preaching, it seems like to me anyway, I've been preaching a lot of faith. And I like it because that's what works. Faith works. Doubt doesn't work. Listen, if doubt worked, the whole world would be getting it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work. And it doesn't, listen, doubt doesn't work in religion. Doubt doesn't work with God. Faith works. And so I'm glad to be preaching faith. I'm in good company. Right along with Jesus, the Apostle Paul. I'm going to preach faith because that's what people need. That's what works. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You get one word from God, it can change everything. See, I like that song they sang in the worship tonight about the light and how his word brings the light. Just one word from God, I'm telling you, it can change the course of your life from now on. It can turn around the battle that you've been in for 20 years. Just one word from God. And so my prayer for you tonight is that you get a word. Just one word. That's all it takes. You just get one word from God and it'll change your life. What if? That's what we say when we suppose that something could happen and then we guess the outcome. What if I won the lottery? What if the stock market crashes? What if I lose my job? What if I had superhero powers? What if you knew you only had 1 month to live? What if you had three wishes? It's a story about a guy named Bob. He's walking along the beach one day. He sees something shiny there on the beach and he picks it up. It's a lamp. And you know what happens? He begins to rub the lamp and a genie comes out. And the genie says, because you've set me free, I'm going to give you three wishes. Well, Bob doesn't have to think for long. This is another Bob, okay? He doesn't have to think for long. And he says, I want $1 billion. And poof, there in his hand is a slip of paper with the account numbers to a Swiss bank account that shows $1 billion. And he says, cool. And then he says, I want a red Ferrari. And bam, there it is on the beach, a red Ferrari. One last wish. Bob says, I want to be irresistible. Poof, Bob becomes a box of chocolates. Well, what if? That's a silly game. Maybe. We're going to pray. Y'all thought I forgot, didn't you? We're going to pray. Father, I just pray that you help us tonight to hear your word, Lord, in a fresh new way. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord, that we might truly believe, that we might truly live in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. What if? We'll play a little longer. What if you could travel back in time? Well, you'd go back and redo your third wish, right? What if you could grade your teachers? Well, the teenagers need to be in here for that one, don't they? What if you could be anybody you wanted to be? See, what if? That's just fantasy, isn't it? What if? It's a make-believe world that keeps you from reality of what is. For the most part, it's foolish to wonder, what if? But I want to ask you some what ifs about the Bible tonight. What if the Lord held us accountable for everything that we said, every careless word? Matthew 12:36, I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Jesus' words, I don't know that those words are believed much today. But what if we believed that? Don't you think that it might have an impact on what we say, that we might want to be just a little more careful? Don't you think we might think before we speak? If we really believe that there's coming a day in eternity. See, we might think, oh, well, that's silly. That's not important. But Jesus is the one that said it. What if we believed what Jesus said when he said, men will give an account for every idle word in that day? Do we really believe that? If we believe that, I think there'd be a lot less talking altogether, don't you? What if God saw everything that we did? Everything. What if he was always watching? Hebrews 4:14 says, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. What if we believed that God was actually watching us 24/7? The one to whom we are going to give an account, that his eyes are always upon us. I tell you, if we really believe that scripture, I think it creates a fear of the Lord. It creates a healthy fear of the Lord, that we live out our days, every moment, every step, everything that we do, the way that we treat other people, that it is always in God's plain view. That he sees everything. What if we were all judged and rewarded in eternity for the things that we have done in this life? Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Everyone. 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 What if we believe that? That Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to have a reward with him. And he's not going to give everybody a trophy. He's going to reward everyone according to his work, to what he has done. Now, I want you to understand, this isn't talking about judgment for sinners. This isn't talking about sending people to hell. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer will stand before Jesus and be judged for reward. What if it were true that Jesus really is going to reward us according to what we have done? I can tell you that most of the body of Christ does not believe it's true. Because if they did, then they would work for Jesus. They would be passionate about serving the Lord. It wouldn't be where they say that 20% of the body of Christ does 80% of the work. And I think sometimes it's more like 10% does 90%. If everybody believed that there's a reward that's coming, an eternal reward, what if we believed that? What if you reaped what you sowed? Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Every action had a consequence. What if we believe that? If everything we did brought a harvest down the road, whether for good or for bad, everything we did, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Now, I want to tell you something. Most people don't believe that, and you can tell by the way that they live. In fact, I think it's hard for people to understand this principle of harvest sometimes because they do something bad and nothing happens. They do something good, nothing happens. But listen, when you sow, you don't see the harvest that day. You don't necessarily see it in a week or a month. And I'm telling you, when it comes to spiritual things, you may not see the harvest for years. But I can tell you this, the Bible is true. Don't be deceived. There's a lot of people that have been tricked. They've been fooled. They think that it doesn't matter. They think that, oh, it's okay if I do this, even though it's wrong. Well, it doesn't matter if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. There's a harvest coming. You know, I recently preached a series about wisdom, about the key to a happy life. And I can tell you that a lot of people don't think that there's a harvest because they don't see the immediate consequences. But later down the road, when the harvest comes in, they say, I don't understand why this happened. And sometimes we look on and we don't understand either because we don't know what seed was sown before. But I know this. I do know this. I don't know why everything happens, but I do know this. A man reaps whatever he sows. What if we really believed that? I think it would change the way that we live, the way that we act. We'd be more careful about the harvest that we're sowing, that we're planting, that we're going to reap someday. What if we were judged in the same way that we judge others? Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Jesus says, judge not that you not be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I want to point out to you, first of all, that Jesus says, don't judge. Don't judge. See, I think some people think, oh, I'm a good person, so I can judge others because it's not going to matter if they judge me. You messed up. But I can tell you this, no matter how good you are, Jesus says, don't judge. Then he gives the explanation. But first, the command is, don't judge. There's a whole lot of judging going on in our world right now. It's not our place. The Bible says there's one lawgiver and judge. It's not us. It's him. And we can't take his place. And I want to tell you something. You're going to be judged in the same way that you judge others. Wow. What if we really believed that? What if when we were merciful to other people, we ourselves were shown mercy? I think we would be a little more kind. I think we would cut other people a little more slack. If we really believed what Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, when he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let me tell you who gets the mercy. The merciful. Not everybody. There is a measure of God's mercy that's over all of creation. We understand that and we know that. But I got to tell you, mean people aren't getting much mercy from God. No, the Bible says they'll have judgment without mercy. But the merciful, Jesus said, are blessed because they get mercy. You know, sometimes you wonder why maybe things go pretty well for a person that, well, you know, they're just not really that good. Are they merciful? They're probably getting a lot of mercy. You're looking at one. I get a lot of mercy. I'm telling you. God shows me a whole lot of mercy. Try to be merciful. I'm working on it. But what if that's the way it really worked? that when we are kind, when we are merciful to others, then God shows us mercy. What if you really were a new creation in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I tell you, if we believe that scripture, then we are a changed person from the inside out. We're not the same anymore. We're not just religious. We didn't just get religion. We got changed from the inside out. And you might say, oh, but there's still some things in me that haven't changed. I'm telling you, you need to renew your mind. You need to keep growing in the Lord. And it's amazing how we continue to change and grow in the Lord. But you were changed from the inside out when you became a Christian. Oh, how we need to believe it. What if God lived in you? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, there wouldn't, if we really believe that, then whatever we face, whatever battle or struggle, whatever challenge we face, the God inside of us is big enough to overcome, to win. There's never a time when we would be defeated, but we would always be more than conquerors. What if through Jesus you had the strength to do absolutely anything? I know y'all know this stuff, but I'm telling you, sometimes you just need to hear it. What if you really believe Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Doesn't matter what comes my way. We never think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I can take it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What if we believe the Bible? What if we believe these verses of Scripture? I'm just telling you, if we really believe, it will change the way we live. There's too much of this mental assent where we say that we believe something, but it's not evident in our life. We need a living faith that what we say we believe, we actually act it out. We live according to the Scripture instead of just professing. But we let it change us. So what if you had power over all the power of the enemy? You know, I was reading this passage of Scripture this past week, and Jesus says in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And just to bring some clarity to what he was talking about, if you look at the verse before, verse 18, the 70 disciples had just come back from a time of ministry, and they said, the demons are subject unto us. They're talking about the demons being subject to them, that they had authority over demons. And Jesus says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What if you had power? What if you had authority over the powers of darkness? What if you had authority over the demon, the devil, that's causing problems in your family, in your life? What if you had authority over them? Jesus says, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. What if we believed that we had authority over all the power of the enemy? What if you had a supernatural ability and power to be a witness for Jesus? I'm not talking about a bright personality. I'm not talking about being outgoing and bubbly. I'm talking about a supernatural thing. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that when you receive the Holy Spirit, that you will receive power to be witnesses of Him. If we believe that, why would we ever be afraid to witness? Why would we ever be afraid to talk about the Lord and tell people about our faith? Why would we ever be ashamed to speak up about Jesus if we believe that the Holy Spirit has given us power to be His witnesses? Wouldn't it be an awesome thing if you could just lay hands on people and they would be healed. Jesus said it in Mark 16 and 18. He said that believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, what if we believe that? I want you to know that it doesn't say preachers. It says believers. Lay hands on the sick and they recover. What if we believed it? Oh, well, they said I'm supposed to pray for people, so I'm going to do it. No, you don't believe it. What if we believed it? Then it would be like, I want to pray for you. What if we could have peace? No worry, no stress, no fear. Jesus said, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm telling you, if we believe that verse, then why would we ever be afraid? Why would we ever stress? Why would we ever allow the enemy to put that on us when Jesus has promised us His peace, that peace is for us if we just believe it? What if when you gave generously, you reaped generously, and when you sowed or gave sparingly, you reaped sparingly? Anybody think that might be in the Bible? 2 Corinthians 9:6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I'm sure that some preacher made that up, trying to get money from people. No, it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And what if we believe that? There'd never be a time when we wanted to be a stingy giver. No, we'd always want to be generous. We'd always want to be on the liberal side of giving. Amen? Because we know that when we give generously, we're going to receive generously. You know, I've said this many times, but if God would open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain and rebuke the devourer for your sake when you tithed, who wouldn't tithe? The reason people don't tithe is not because it's Old Testament or that's the law and we don't have to do that and I'm free from that and blah, blah, blah. The reason people don't tithe is they don't believe that God will do what He said He would do. Because it doesn't matter if you have to or not. If you believe that He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you, you tithe. Plain and simple. What if we just believe the Bible? I'm just telling you. What if we actually believe? It's amazing how we profess to believe, and yet so often it's apparent that most people don't really believe what the Bible says. I mean, what if God would just take care of every need in your life? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, if we believe that, we could just rest. Economy goes south, we're just fine. My God supplies my need. Lose a job, I'm fine. My God supplies my need according to the economy. No, according to His riches in glory. That's a whole lot. By Christ Jesus. See, well, here's the rub. Do we believe it? Because if we really believe it, I'm telling you, we don't have anything to be upset about. You know, tonight, well, next week, we don't have a Wednesday night service, right? So tonight, you know, Lord, I could have just preached a Thanksgiving message instead of all this. So I didn't get that. But I am going to get this little bit in. I just want to tell you, when we really believe what the Bible says, we don't have anything to complain about. And we've got everything to be grateful for. And you can tell most people don't believe the Bible because they're complaining. Preached it Sunday. What if God's throne room were open to us and we could come to the throne of grace and receive help in our time of need? It's Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, I just think if we really believe that, if we really believe what Jesus said in Mark 11:24, that whatever things you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them, I just think that people would pray a whole lot more. I just think that no Christian that believes that would ever want to miss a day of prayer. No Christian would ever want to go through even just an hour without turning their thoughts and their heart to God in prayer, because of the power, because of the opportunity, because of the privilege that's available to us if we believe what the Word of God says. Wouldn't it be amazing if it were true? See, the world always wants to question your faith. In fact, I find that religious people, and just to be specific about it, other Christians are the worst about wanting to question your faith. You know, I think it's that principle that misery loves company. Doubters are miserable. They're just resolved to accept things as they are. And you know, it's just the way life is. Instead of believing God and expecting God to move and expecting God to keep His word. And they always want to challenge your faith and question your faith. But I want to question your doubts. I want to challenge you to believe God's word. Why? Why do we not just take God at His word? You see, when I read the Bible and I read about the patriarchs, I read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, I read about Jonah and Noah, I read about David. I tell you, all of these men had something in common, that when God spoke to them, they actually believed it. It's amazing. When God told them to do something, they just did it. They had faults. They had flaws. They messed up. They sinned. And sometimes it cost them, by the way. But they believed what God said to them, and God did miracles in their life. And we know about them today. You know why you know about them? Well, because they were really good guys. No, because they believed God. That's the only reason you even know their name. They just believed what God said. And you see, you can play the what if game and you can run those scenarios in your mind about all kinds of fantasies and what if this and what if that. But this is not a fantasy, because the Word of God is real. The Word of God is true. And what it says, it's not a what if. I can tell you, heaven and earth will pass away, but His word is going to stand. It's absolutely true. So the question is not what if when it comes to the word, but it's what if we believed what a difference it would make if the one, what if the one who gave his son for us would also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What if we believed that? Oh, wouldn't it change what we prayed for and how we looked to God and how we trusted God if we just understood that the one who gave his only son, if he did that for us, what would he withhold from us? Anything bad? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I tell you, you start getting in the scripture and you just get a hold of one verse that speaks to your heart and, you know, that applies to your situation and what you're going through. And you just start believing it. It changes everything. See, what if anything was possible? Whatever you could dream or imagine or envision. It's Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him who believes. We need to believe God's word. We need to act like we believe it. We need to live by the principles of his word every day as though they're true. We need to live by those promises, stand on those promises as though they are true. We need to act on our faith. Take God at his word as though he were a God who cannot lie. Just one more. What if, and this is my favorite, what if when we came together, when we gathered in his name, what if Jesus showed up? I mean, what if Jesus was actually here when we gathered in his name? I don't mean that way, you know, where you're sitting at home watching the preacher on the TV. No, I'm talking about when you gather in his name, when God's people come together in his name. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Do we believe that verse of scripture? Do we believe that Jesus is actually here? I tell you, we show whether or not we really believe it by what we do and the way we act. You see, I think if we believe that, it changes everything about church. You see, we're living in a generation in America right now, in a culture right now, where almost daily this is progressing, this attitude that I don't need to go to church. And let me tell you why. Because they don't believe that Jesus shows up where people gather in his name. They think it's just fanfare and smoke and lights and music and some guy talking for a little while. No, it's not about that stuff. Listen, this is what we have that the world doesn't have. It's Jesus. It's the presence of God. And when we gather in his name, there's something special there. That's why Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, Jesus shows up and it's real and it's powerful. In Mark chapter 2, it says that he entered Capernaum, and after some days it was heard that he was in the house. The word got out. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. He was a word preacher. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And we know the story that Jesus saw their faith and he healed him. But I'm telling you, too much of the time we're not getting the word out that Jesus is in the house. Because the way it is today, let me tell you, if we have Jason Witten from the Dallas Cowboys in the house on Sunday, the place would be packed out the doors. But it's not about Jesus. Listen, don't backslide. I didn't say Jason Witten wasn't a Christian and a man of God. I'm just telling you, the priorities are wrong when we're more interested in a man than coming to meet with Jesus. And I can preach this, I can say this, because when I wasn't the preacher, when I wasn't the pastor, or when I'm not preaching, it don't matter to me who's preaching. I'm going to church. And you can ask my wife the time periods when we were in between position. Mark went to church Sunday morning, two services, Sunday night and Wednesday night, and did it every time, even when we couldn't find a church where they preached the Bible or the worship was worth the flip. And not just because I'm bullheaded, but I wanted to meet with Jesus. I wanted to be in his presence. I wanted to gather in his name. And I'm just telling you, if we really believe that Jesus is in the house, number one, we'll get the word out. We'll tell people that Jesus is going to be there. Because I'm going to tell you something. If people believe that Jesus is going to be there, they'll show up. Well, just imagine up there on our big screen, we didn't have the projectors on or anything, and all of a sudden there was this image of Jesus that just appeared. Wow. We could tell everybody, and people would come to see the image of Jesus on the big screen. That's fantasy. I'm talking about something that's much more real. I'm talking about the promise of God's word. That if two or three gather in his name, he is actually there in the midst of them. And you see, we would have such a different attitude about church if we really believe that. We wouldn't be texting. We wouldn't be thinking about other things. We'd be thinking about Jesus. It would change the way that we came in. It would change the way that we worship. I mean, if Jesus was here, you know, like most people envision him with the long hair and the beard and the robes and everything, and you saw Jesus walking around, most people would be so overwhelmed, they would fall on their face, they would cry with tears of joy. But because you don't see him with the natural eye, we can't even offer him a true worship in spirit and in truth. I'm just telling you, if we really believe what the scripture says, it changes everything. I mean, if we believe what Jesus said when he says, if any two agree together as touching anything. In that same passage there, he says, if any two. You see, we have prayer partners at the end of the service and we say, come for prayer. And I know people, and Carmen knows people, you know people every week that have needs in their life and needs in their body, all kinds of things going on, but they don't believe or they would be down here to pray with somebody. Well, I prayed before. Keep praying. Keep believing. I'm telling you. telling you so often. It is that point of contact. It is when you believe. It is when you think. See, it's when you say to yourself, I know that if I touch the hem of his garment, I know that if I go down there and somebody prays with me, I'm going to be healed. I know. What if we believed that Jesus was actually here, the same yesterday, today, and forever? I'm telling you, it changes everything. What if we just believed the Bible? I want you to stand with me, and I want to pray over you, and I just encourage you, as you read your Bible, let God speak to you. That one verse, the Holy Spirit brings to life to you. Believe it. Stand on it. Don't forget it. Don't let the enemy snatch it away. Write it down. Memorize it. Keep it before you. Never let go of it. As I'm telling you, it'll carry you through. Believe God's word. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters, my church family, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would lead us on. Lord, help us to continue to grow. Lord, to continue to be used of you in a greater way. Father, I pray that you would just give us that fresh vision. Lord, as we read your word, that you speak to our heart and show us, Lord, things that we never imagined. Things that are too wonderful. Lord, show us. Reveal to us. Lord, let that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you be in us as we read your word. Lord, that we'll never, ever take it lightly, but take it as it is the word of God to us. I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you. I love you. If you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you.